Blog Talk Radio.
Not a whole lot going on. A small town Friday night. Revving up at a red light. On your mark, get set, go. Half a mom and pop restaurant. Same four trucks parked out front. I guess you gotta make your own fun when you're stuck in a place this slow. There's only too many the salvation around here that seem to work. A whiskey or the Bible. A shot glass or revival. When you don't seem to run on side of the fence, people act like it don't make sense. These big town dreams that I've been chasing will never come true if I wind up staying. And I don't want to fall in the same rut that everybody here seems to be stuck in. Now, why do I hang around in this church pew or bar stool kind of sound? I'm like that AM station that never comes in right. Till you pass the city limit sign, that's the only time it all gets clear. Well, it's crystal clear that I just need to find a place where there is no lines, and nothing like it is around here. Someplace where it don't feel like this world revolves around. Whiskey or the Bible, a shot glass or revival. When you don't seem to run on either side of the fence, people act like it don't make sense. These big town dreams that I've been chasing will never come true if I wind up staying. And I don't want to fall in the same rut. Everybody here seems to be stuck in now. Why do I hang around in this church pew, a bar stool kind of town? Here it sometimes feels just like this world falls around. Whiskey or the Bible, a shot glass or revival. When you don't seem to run on either side of the fence, people act like it don't make sense. These big town dreams that I've been chasing will never come true if I wind up staying. And I don't want to fall in the same rut that everybody here seems to be stuck in now. Why do I hang around in this church pew or barstool kind of town? Yeah, I need to get out of this church pew or barstool kind of town.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to another night of Full Spectrum Radio. I am Matt, and with me always is Dennis. What's up, dude?
Same old, brother. Good evening to you. Good evening, everybody else. Thanks for joining in just to hang out with us this evening. We've got a pretty decent show lined up for you. How's your week been, Matt? You feeling better? I know last week you were out on us.
Yes, I do apologize for not broadcasting last week. It wouldn't have been a pretty show, I can pretty much guarantee you that. I had a little stomach bug that that bit me for about a day and a half, and seems to be all cleared up now. Weekend was beautiful. It was in the, what did we hit? It was like 54, 56 on Saturday and got up to 61, 62 on Sunday and 66 on Monday. So couldn't complain except for one situation that happened on Sunday. That
gravity made you her bitch.
Yes, I went with Samantha and Rob. I took her two kids, Alex and Joey, and had a little two-stroke, little kid's dirt bike, RM65 and an RM85, which is actually Samantha's bike. And we went out, and we're teaching her son how to ride. And he had a little 50 before, and he used to fly around on that thing, but this is his first one with gears and, you know, all that kind of stuff. Second time riding the bike, he did absolutely phenomenal. I mean, I was real, real impressed with how controlled, and he didn't fall. He didn't falter, nothing. I mean, he blasted around the track, just getting familiar with the bike. And what the unfortunate part was, is I fell. Had the bike off the truck, started it up, was riding through the parking lot, gravel parking lot, in between where all the cars and trucks and trailers and everything park. I was hitting the throttle, I kept bogging down, so I went and I just did a quick double rev, and basically what that is for people who don't ride is you hit the throttle once, you wrap your wrist, and then you don't let the motor spool down, you wrap it again. So it bogged, and then it caught, and it kicked. Which, I've ridden many a wheelie in my day. It's not that big of a deal, but when I went to go hit the rear brake with my right foot, the rear brake pedal happened to be a little bit under the engine casing. So I looped a wheelie in the parking lot in front of about 40 people 5 minutes after getting there. And, yeah. So the 7-year-old didn't fall once. Me riding for 14 years fell within the first 5 minutes of being there.
So let me ask you, is it as much fun when the bike rides you as it is when you ride the bike?
It did kind of end up on top of me, so. I don't know. Why don't you ask the bruise on my thigh and my ass?
Yeah, I really don't want to talk to your ass.
God, yeah.
Hey, on a totally different and serious note, just want to send out prayers to all of those involved on Fort Hood today. The last that I got comes from Fox 4 News. 4 dead, including the shooter, and 14 injured. The shooter died of a self-inflicted gunshot wound. Just prayers for these people, folks. I'm not sure what the hell is going on in this world lately, but it definitely needs a lot more prayer. We need something to make more sense of it, I guess. But prayers go out to all those on Fort Hood and definitely to the families of the fallen.
Yes, for sure. And I don't get it, man. But the stuff and the shootings and everything that's been going on recently, and talking about this and the past shootings that have happened, not there, just in general, I'm saying, was this something that it's more publicized now after, I don't know, pretty much Columbine was the one that started the publicity of the shootings and everything. Has this been happening and the media just wasn't as on top of it as they are now, or are people seriously getting that much crazier?
I've kind of pondered that same thought. Now with so much media, so much mass coverage, social media, things are found out across the country in moments, you know, when they're like this, in a little corner market, you know, getting robbed, you know, that still gets across the country, but it doesn't become such a big thing. But when you have, you know, one of our military bases and one of our own military personnel turns and does that, you know, then that becomes a huge thing for the media to stick to. But, yeah, I don't know if it's, you know, see, prior to the mass media as it is now and social media and so much access to information, I don't know if there were things of this nature as prevalent, and they just, you know, you just didn't hear about it for a couple of days. I mean, keep in mind, back in the day, all we had was the newspaper, so it could be a day or two before you got to it if you didn't have the evening news turned off. You know, pretty much, if you didn't watch the evening news, you didn't find out what happened that day until the next or the following. But I don't know if it's that people are just getting crazier and we're just discovering it more. But either way, it's a damn shame. Why can't they just, I don't know, take a moment, go into confessional, go talk to a pastor, go sit at the bar and have a beer. But for Christ's sake, don't pick up your weapon and just open fire on people. There's no sense in that. It goes against everything that common sense tells us. You know, last week here in the city of Richmond, we had three drive-by shootings in the same neighborhood. They would just drive by and open fire on like random houses. What the hell for? I don't understand, brother. I don't understand. I think we definitely need. I'm not much of a Bible thumper. We've got Christina Rape coming on, and she can try to explain it to us. But I think when we kick God out of our schools, we screwed up. So
if I think a lot of it has to do with many, many different things. I mean, you figure that. Especially somebody on a military base. One, how did he get the ammo out of the armory unless he was on the range? You can't just walk around loaded. You know what I mean? Like,
you can carry your firearm on the military base if you're... Well, now, I don't know what he was, whether he was an MP or not, but, you know, a lot of the vehicles don't get a thorough search. I mean, hell, we just had a shooting on base down here at Norfolk at the naval base. Truck driver went in. He had all the legitimate credentials to go in. For whatever reason, he drove on base, drove towards the back, got on one of the docked vessels, and ended up he killed I don't know if it was civilian security or if it was a shore patrol enlisted officer, but you know, he was quickly taken out by the rest of the security force. And
oh yeah, I'm sure
there doesn't seem to be any correlation between the two individuals. You know, they think the driver was after somebody else, and when the security or shore patrol, whatever the individual was, intercepted him, but that's when he got shot. So, you know, he died in the line of duty doing what he's supposed to do, which is protect the others on the vessel. So I don't know. You know, and Ross asked in chat if I think that these are God-loving people that are doing these shootings, you know, and will prayer actually help them? In some cases, yeah, I think they are God-loving, God-fearing people. They just, either drugged up, overly stressed. Maybe it's PTSD.
Not drugged up enough.
But yeah, I don't know. Not drugged up enough could be. But Ross is thinking that these guys are professional and mentally stable. Well, not in all cases. A lot of them are mentally unstable at this point from all the shit that they've seen overseas. We're bringing them back by the thousands with post-traumatic stress disorder, and they just snap.
Also, there's a lot to do with it. If anybody involved in that shooting or the individual that caused the shootings that happened, was it earlier today or yesterday?
No, it was today in Fort Hood.
Yeah. So a lot of that too is
Fort Hood still on lockdown at this current moment.
Yeah, I mean, if that individual had gone and done tours, and I have friends that did tours and killed people, the human life doesn't have the meaning that it had before.
No, it really doesn't.
So.
And there's also not the respect for one another that, I grew up with. I promise you, I would have a hard time gumming through my food if I spoke to my parents the way I've seen kids talk to theirs nowadays. So, I don't get it, brother. I don't get it. I don't want to say that it's, television's fault. They're airing more and more risque stuff. I don't want to say that it's video games' fault that, we let our kids play these violent video games. I don't know what fault it is. I'm sure as hell not a social psychiatric individual. I would think somebody with a, degree in abnormal psychology, Matt, would have better answers.
I'll dive into that a little bit. Using that, you always see on the news and shootings or whatever, not of this caliber on military bases, but just, in the hood or whatnot, drive-by shootings, or then found out that the neighbor was, cut people up in his basement. Oh, he was such a nice individual, and I never would have thought that. Bullshit. There are signs that are given out. On Sunday, I was watching a whole bunch of shows while I was icing myself that had to do with serial killers. And I know that sounds so happy and cheery, but it's quite an interesting thing. If you ever see them on there on either Biography or Investigation Discovery, watch one of them and look at the patterns of these people. The one guy, and I wish I could remember his name, he was one of the Amityville, the murder that happened in Amityville, where he and his sister killed their parents and then the kids, and he's still currently incarcerated. If just hearing him during the interview, you can tell something's just a little bit off. He swears to this day that there was somebody else besides he and his sister involved. He admitted to the murders, and it was kind of a twisted way on why this even occurred in the first place, but just in his speech and the way that he would talk about things, you can tell if there was... He's had a long time to think about it. He's been incarcerated for 35 years. But there's a lot of repentant And there's also a lot of blame of something in the paranormal that was influencing him to do this. And his sister. But the way that he discussed about the paranormal and this demon and how it was his uncle and his, like, the spirit of his dad while his dad was still alive and all the negative stuff that he did. I mean, his dad was involved in the mafia. He helped bury bodies in one of the cemeteries. It was just kind of crazy on the thought process of him, which you can sit down and have a conversation with him, and he's going to bring up religion. He's going to talk about this, that, and the other thing as far as remorse, but he is a cold-blooded killer. And with a cold-blooded killer, if you didn't know that he was and you met him on the street, you'd actually kind of think that he was a little bit more of a Bible banger than somebody who took other people's lives out of rage.
Yeah, that's, and if you remember, there were the brothers that did the same thing. They took their parents out too. But that one was, you know, they claimed that one was on, well, they tried to go for the insanity plea, but they had been beaten and molested and everything else their whole lives. I don't recall their name, but they ended up coming out with, you know, millions of dollars from the estate and everything else that they actually got to keep. And it was adjudicated that it was self-defense. So, I don't know. I think our society is just kind of going to hell in a handbasket. But let me, I've got one on the board here that I want to take a look at. And
the California one?
I think, no, it's 323.
That's
and
California.
I think I know who it is. Oh, is it? But,
yep.
No, she's hoping to pop in, or he. So
go.
Pop over right quick.
Yeah, no problem.
Do you know who it is? Do you know who it is?
I don't. I just, right. I know 323 is California.
All right. Well, let me jump over right quick and scream. I'll be right back, brother. Carry on.
All right. So, if, you know, and unfortunately I don't have chat up because it doesn't seem to be working, but my device. But anyway, if you know anybody that you think is questionable, I mean, I'd be open to discussing and just to kind of see in like a sociological test of what you think is just a tad bit off. Is, I mean, you can even send me a private message on Facebook at CPR Matt. I said I wish I had the chat open, but there's been a couple people that I've known. And this is people that were growing up, and you know, when I was a kid, we went to school together, and used to hang out, go to parties, stuff like that. That ended up, but later in life, becoming incarcerated for pretty heinous crimes, to be honest with you. But in that time of reflection of when I saw them developing as human beings and the stuff that they used to do, how they used to treat people, how they used to treat animals, kind of project that, hey, this person's not going to end up to be that good of a person. I don't know. It's, like I said, it was just all through reflection and all that. That's why you were gone. I was talking about how people that I grew up with, that I had, that became incarcerated for some pretty nasty stuff, whether it be armed robbery or rape or whatever. But growing up with them, reflecting back to when I was growing up with them, I saw the patterns of they were probably going to grow up to be pretty much a piece of shit.
Well, that's a polite way of putting it. Are we talking like, you know, skinning cats in the backyard or what?
No, not even something that far. Just how they treat other classmates, how they treat friends, how they just like to get into fights and actually enjoy just the whole art of fighting. Not to the point of actually mutilating animals or anything like that, but they'd be rougher if their dog or something did something wrong. They'd take it to another level of discipline that it needed to be.
Right.
But, yeah, it was just stuff like that. There's some pretty obvious signs. If you see a kid that's just a bastard kid and they're out there, it's like, well, why are they that way? Why are they, is it a lack of discipline? Is it an actual something that they should be seeing somebody for?
I have no idea. But I will tell you this, that call that came in, it is Christina Rake joining us through Skype, which, you know, Skype likes to play with strange things. Sometimes it'll give you all one, sometimes it'll give you who knows what. But this time it gave us a California prefix. So, Christina, are you in with us, dear?
I am. Hello.
Hi, Christina.
Hi, Matt. How are you?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
Good. I'm okay. I'm tired and hurting. But I'm here, so you should kiss me.
And that's one from me too, dear. Of course. But, well, Christina, Matt has a new nickname. We now call him GB. That's for Gravity's Bitch.
Have you fallen?
Pretty hard on Sunday, yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. Are you okay? Oh,
no, that's hilarious.
I was riding a little kid dirt bike. My friend Samantha's son's little two-stroke little dirt bike, he was learning to ride. The first 5 minutes, I looped a wheelie in the parking lot of the place that we were at. So, yeah.
And then it was riding him.
Yep.
Impressive. Most impressive.
No. No, it wasn't. It happened in front of like 40 people. So.
Oh.
Yeah.
So it hurt in many ways.
It was, yes. My pride is worse than my body. I'll put it that way.
Well, I seriously hope that you're okay. You're going to mend well.
Oh, yeah. Just little bumps and bruises. No big deal. Nothing broken.
Oh, good. Good.
Now, you're in perfect timing joining us, Christina. I have, you know, I sent out a prayer request for those involved in Fort Hood. I'm sure you caught the news about this evening.
Yes.
Well, Matt posed a question to me that, is it that the media is so much more astute and on top of things, or is it just that these, you know, people are getting worse and worse as time goes on, and they're, you know, more and more psychotic or whatever? My response to him was, I think when we kicked God out of school, we kind of screwed things up. What's your take on all of it?
Well, I've been on the inside of no fewer than 8 stories here, one of them national, most of them statewide, and I can tell you that the media is not astute. They're corrupt and as biased as you can imagine. So I actually, I think that part of the problem is a turning away from God, but not in the sense of, well, you know, this is punishment and people have gone crazy. I think that there's no longer a sense of consequences for actions. People with shortened attention spans and with no moral compass or no absolute that exists outside of this world, when you're not taught that there's something beyond this, that this isn't it, this seems overwhelming and you snap. Additionally, I think that people have started to psychologize evil also. And there was a time when, you know, there was just evil. But now they're attributing it to all manner of blips in the brain or how people were raised. And that's not an answer either. I just think that we have taken so much of spirituality out of everyday life. And technology has removed critical thought of any kind. People simply can't think from A to C. They can't. They don't know what that middle step is. Everything is, I feel, I just feel it should be this way, and they can't tell you why. When you combine all of those things, people feel like there is nothing that can ease the hurt. And they go crazy and get overwhelmed and start taking out the pain on other people. And on the other hand, I don't think you can discount evil. Evil can be a part of this. People do evil things, and sometimes people are simply evil. So I think that that plays a really huge part in it.
Now, do you also think that it's a, well, a lot of it seems to be, well, with the military bases anyway, you know, they're constantly touting how we're sending them back by the thousands or bringing them home by the thousands with PTSD and other things of that nature. Do you think that plays into it as well, or is it more of just the
I was about to say it was the medical center, and I wouldn't be surprised if it was a soldier with PTSD. That's become a huge problem. And, you know, I was reading a book about a man who was a psychiatrist and was in the military for 35 years, and he was a military historian. And I didn't get to read the whole thing, but what I skimmed through was fascinating because he was talking about the fact that after World War II, training for the military completely changed. They were having problems, believe it or not, with people who were willing to get killed rather than kill another person. They had firearms returned from entire battalions that had never been discharged. And this is, you know, not common knowledge, but it's a fact. It's all in the military archives. You can get it for yourself if you want. No one would kill. And in World War II, people's personalities remained largely intact when they went overseas. So the military developed an actual brainwashing technique that they use on soldiers. The result is the soldiers come home with PTSD because they've lost some of the essential parts of empathy and compassion that might help them to redirect it. So this is actually military's fault. And then you add to that the culture in the military. People do put up with some tremendous abuses of their person, of their emotions. And I'm not sounding like Nancy Boy. I mean, I've actually heard stories that just, so that plays a large role in it. And if it is a soldier with PTSD, I'd be the first to sort of back off. They've been sending people over for years on fifth tours of duty, pulling people in their 50s to go on two tours after they've retired. So when you're on your fourth or fifth tour in Iraq or Afghanistan, yeah, that's too much. It's too much. They're putting too much stress on the human person. You can't do that.
Yeah, eventually the human psyche is bound to break down.
Right.
But,
right, especially if you ground it into mush before you send them there.
True. But, yeah, I'm just, you know, I'm perplexed as to, you know, and we were also talking, like, not just the Fort Hood incident. There was one where a civilian truck driver right here at Norfolk Naval Station, 2 days ago, went in and for whatever reason boarded one of the ships that was docked and ended up in a shootout, and he killed one of the personnel on board and then was killed subsequently by other security. Last week here in Richmond, same neighborhood, had 3 drive-by shootings on different homes. You know, and I just don't understand it. I mean, is it, have we gotten that far away from civility that, you know, these things are more and more accepted, or I just don't understand it.
Oh, Thomas, one thing is, that's one thing that, I mean, Christina, how often watching the news is south side of Chicago, how many shootings do they talk about basically per day?
Yeah. It's become a demilitarized zone out there.
Yeah. And that's actually
played a large part. I'm sorry, Matt, go ahead.
No, that's actually in the kind of in the area of 63rd and Wallace where the Murder Castle is. So if you're around this area and you're looking up H.H. Holmes and the Murder Castle, you don't want to go there without a group. So I think it was Wallace and 67th, I want to say, yesterday there was two teenagers shot and killed and 2 injured just walking on the street. No reason. So,
yeah
that area needs some help.
Well, I still think that, you know, getting so far away from religion and as far away as we've gotten away from religion now in just general society, I think that's got a lot to do with it. You know, everybody, I don't know, I mean, I remember when I was a kid, we'd watch Saturday morning cartoons, and the coyote tried everything in God's green earth to kill the Roadrunner, and we didn't try any of that crap. I don't remember any of my friends strapping themselves to a rocket or trying to shove a rock off the top of a cliff. You know, they didn't have to put, you know, do not try this at home, because we weren't completely stupid.
Well, I did try one of those things.
Yeah, me too.
I tried to fly. So.
Well, I think we all did that. I can remember 1 or 2 umbrellas of my mother's that didn't make it to the ground level.
I couldn't find girdles, but I tied things to my arms and my legs from Tom and Jerry, and I jumped off of the first floor awning, and I landed in a rose bush, and that was the end of that. No more flying for me. I think they nailed the window shut.
Now, I did discover, though, Mary Poppins was bullshit. She did not fly with that umbrella. So I did prove that theory wrong.
Was that bugging you, Dennis?
Yes. If Mary Poppins can fly with an umbrella, why couldn't I? I was much lighter than she was, I'm sure. She looked like she had a couple extra pounds on her, and I was a skinny little kid. But I promise I didn't fly well even with the umbrella. You've seen on the funny videos,
holy
like when they get into a windstorm and all of a sudden the umbrella goes upside down? Yeah, that's about what happened.
Well, what was the holy shit, Christina?
I'm in my basement, and it's a finished area, but we're in a very, you know, nice park-like area, and the mouse just went across the floor. But Jesus! Oh, well. I knew I had one down here, but he just scared the life out of me. He came out from under the couch. Sorry, go right ahead. Yeah, I listen to Shambles. Oh, my God. I apologize. It just really took me by surprise.
Well, yeah, if a rodent runs out from under my couch, you can expect the holy shit from me, too. I can give you one from just from last night. Now, those that have listened to our show in the past know that I have two spirits in my house. I have three pit bulls also. The older two have seen them off and on all along, and they're just at the point now where they'll kind of lift their head and go, all right, whatever, and they'll lay back down, but they'll kind of watch the hallway. Last night, Scarlett, who's our youngest one, I guess Scarlett's about 2 years old now. She's a nervous Nelly. When a mouse starts, she freaks out. Well, she's sitting on the couch beside my wife last night, looked down the hallway, and just all of a sudden the hair on her back stood up, tail went straight down, ears straight back, and she bolted down the hallway like she was ready to shred something, and there's not a thing that we see. I go down the hallway and get her back. You know, we don't have a cat. We don't have mice or anything that could have caused it. But I go down the hallway, and I get her calmed down. And then she tentatively walks down the hallway in my basement doorway. I can never, probably five nights a week, this doorway to the basement will open on its own in the middle of the night. But she tentatively, like, went back to that door and just kind of sniffed a little bit, like, I know there's something here. And then she'd kind of come back to us a little sheepish, and then 10, 15 minutes later, she went back to the basement door again and did the sniffing routine again. But I've actually caught on video where I set my night vision camera up, you know, one of the tricks of the investigator's trade, I guess. I set it up, went to bed, waved goodnight to the camera. You see me turn the handle, open the door, close the door tight, shake the handle, yank on the door a couple of times, and nothing. It won't open. An hour and 12 minutes after I disappeared, you hear this thump, and the basement door pops open about 2 inches. So now I know why it's open most mornings. But, you know, you hear the HVAC system cycle a half dozen times in that hour. The door doesn't open, but then you hear a thump like something hit the door, and the door popped open. So one of the spirits that is here, I believe, is a Civil War soldier named Adam. I actually was able to communicate with him a while back, and I got him to tell me what regiment he was from. I believe he's like 20 years old, but when I was trying to communicate with him, I got 83 Alabama. I'm like, okay, I wrote it down. Well, the next day I looked up 83rd Alabama, 83. Well, there is no 83rd. I'm like, well, what the hell? I keep looking. And then I found that there's an 8th Regiment, 3rd Battalion, Alabama Volunteer. They did battle at Seven Pines, which is about 3 miles south of me as the crow flies. Then they were transferred up to Gaines Mill and Cold Harbor, which is 4 or 5 miles north of me as the crow flies. Well, about 2 blocks up, if I'm looking at the maps from like 1864, 1866, looks like it's about 2 blocks up from me. There was a field hospital. Well, he shows up. I see an Adam, and I don't recall his last name offhand. It started with an M. But he's on the roster as doing battle at Seven Pines, but he doesn't show up at the next battle with the rest of his troop. So I'm thinking that he was injured at Seven Pines. And, you know, typically if you died in transport, so to speak, from one battle to the next, they just kind of buried you where you dropped. Well, I'm pretty much about a half mile off Chickahominy River, so I'm thinking that there's a good likelihood that he dropped somewhere close to here, and they just laid him to rest there.
Huh.
But I think Scarlet either heard him last night or saw him, and it scared the living shit out of her. I mean, if the dog could have spoke, it would have been a holy shit moment just like you just had. But I've never seen her react like that. I mean, you know, rabbits, birds, cats, anything else gets in the yard, she barks at it and runs at it, but not like she went after this last night. But truly surprised me. So, now, let me ask you this. Do you have spirits in your home, Christina?
Yes. Well, I have residents, and then I have those that just kind of come and go.
Transparent residents?
Yeah, they're just kind of, they're not renting, they're just looking with an option to buy if anything catches their eye, I guess. Because I've had some really scary things happen here. But more and more of the place is just kind of quiet. I've actually got people that I message in emergencies and say something got through, and then they, work on it. But that's only in cases when it's malevolent. But I have, this house, excuse me, we bought it from the original owners, and no one died in it. I mean, they bought it when it was first built. They raised a family here. They retired. They sold it to us 30 years later. And so no one died here, although, and this is hysterical, because the psychics that and shamans that have looked through the house for me to clear things, both saw them. And I never told them about this. We don't talk about it. But we have a cat and a little dog. It's this little blue, I don't know dog breeds that well, but it's this little blue furry thing. I mean, as big as a shoe. And it's, there have been instances,
sorry,
I know, where my dogs are behind me. I'll tell you a scary story in a minute, but I got to tell you this one about the little frightening dog. But there have been times where I've seen it run, and I'll yell, "Choo choo!" like my dog, because he's a Chihuahua. And the next thing I know, I hear clack, clack, clack behind me. Inside the gate, it wasn't Choo Choo or Miles, my other little guy. And there was one evening, and we don't know that this was the dog, though. This scared my husband. Mark's very rational. However, he believes in these things. He truly does. I mean, he's lived with me for 15 years. He's seen stuff he never thought existed. But in the living room, he was on the computer. The two dogs were with him. It's about midnight. He was working late. And there's a blanket on the floor next to the ottoman. The couch is roundish. It's leather. The ottoman is huge. But then in between the two is the blanket. And something, the blanket's kind of as if there was a person inside of it. And it's moving, like just sort of kicking here and moving there. And at first, Mark thought it was my son. And so he started doing that thing where he's like, "Oh, that looks like a cushy seat. I think I'll sit in it. Whoa." And so he puts his hands in to tickle Nathan, and the blanket just goes flat. And he starts to pull the blanket up, and there's nothing in it. And he thought he was going a little crazy. And he's like, "Choo choo." He thinks it's the dog. And the dog's sitting behind him. The dog was next to him asleep. It was not the dog. Scared the life out of them. And that was at a time when we were having a lot of activity in the house. So that was very creepy. If I'd been there, I would not have been pleased. But there was a 2-week period where this place just went all to hell, literally towards the end, but it just went all to hell. I saw someone snap his head around the doorway to the point where I got up thinking that Nathan had come downstairs, even though the head was too high. And I looked around, there's no one there. So we've had the door open and close at night. Something has, one night I got scared out of my bedroom because I was asleep in the middle of a dream. And in my dream, something poked me on the crown of my head and I woke up screeching, like grabbing above me, and there was nothing there. And I sat quietly for a minute and looked around the room, and the room felt wrong. And I just said, whoever you are, you're going to go now. And I laid back down, and then I heard my name from the bedroom bathroom, Christina. And I jumped up again, looked around, glanced towards the bathroom, and I said, I'm not coming in there. You are not allowed to come to me. I come to you, not in my bedroom, guys, go. Well, I laid back down, and then my bed shook. I was up, grabbed my pillow and blanket. I'm like, I'm not sleeping in here. I don't know what's here, but I'm not happy. So they come and go. And like I said, I've got one here, but he's a family member who stays nearby, and the dog and the cat. But there are times when all of a sudden activity will ramp up, and there was one instance where I was doing a remote healing on someone who deals with very dark cases, and pop, something came across the bridge. And there was a couple weeks where I couldn't do anything. And in that case, stuff was falling off of shelves. I was downstairs and the toilet seat slammed, even though it had already been shut. And I went upstairs thinking someone had come home. It was so loud. And I look in the bathroom and the seat is closed and the candle that was above it had fallen on it or not, because it was perfectly in the center. And that's not possible because it's a round candle. So I had that. I had my dog suddenly jumping up and growling at empty space. This was all in the course of a day. And then I went upstairs, and while I was in my bedroom praying, I heard something come up the stairs and stand in my doorway. And I just looked at it, and I knew what it was. And I couldn't leave the doorway because I heard a voice say, sweep the legs. And I didn't want to leave and stand anywhere near a flight of stairs because I knew that's what it meant. And so I got my phone out, messaged some people. They came in like gangbusters, cleared the place. But one of them said to me, and tell them anything except there's something here, can you check? And she said it wanted to push you down the stairs. So that was my confirmation for that one. So, yeah, things come and go. I'm just so used to it now. Mark's used to it. We don't tell the kids because they get a little freaked out. Katie doesn't believe me. She doesn't believe in ghosts. Nathan does. I'm not sure Katie believes in God. She's a very brilliant little kid, 13. But anyway, yeah, there are things here, but I try to keep them away as best I can.
Well, you know I'm only like 20 minutes away from you, right?
Yeah, but I don't let anybody investigate.
No, I'm not saying investigate. I'm saying if you need help or any sort of verification of what you think. I can drop off a bunch of stuff to you, and you can do with it as you please.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. People have asked me about doing EVPs or anything. I don't. Not in my house, because I'm invitation enough for everybody. I've actually talked to someone who has been doing the healings and exorcisms and things for a very long time in the shamanic tradition. And he had mentioned to me that when you're a psychic medium, imagine being in this very, very gray fog and then suddenly seeing a floodlight. And he said, that's what they see. And so they come to it. And so I try to hedge the house up. Oh, my God. I have iron. I have metals. I have holy water. Just do the best I can. But, you know, I never know what's going to accidentally open a door. So because people ask for help from here, and it could be anything that I do that'll, you know, I have no choice. It'd bring something in, and then I just deal with it when it gets here. But, yeah, Matt, cool. I know if I had a problem and I were trapped in my bedroom because there was something outside, I would call you. Don't worry.
Yeah,
well,
Matt first.
Oh, yeah. I have that for a while, Dennis, you know that.
Yeah, well, that's like, you know, you know, Christina does the same thing that I do. She will call in help. And, you know, I actually, you mind if I share the story of me sending you a selfie?
Oh, no, go right ahead. If you're comfortable, I'm happy to talk about it if you are.
Okay. Well,
not
I
happy,
had a...
but I'll talk about it.
Well, I'm happy it came to be a good outcome. I had strange feeling. I had done a remote on a property, remote view, and I just had a strange feeling for the next couple of weeks that something just wasn't right. So I contacted Christina, and I said, hey, I've got a feeling that I have an attachment. Things just don't seem right. My thoughts don't seem normal for me. Can you kind of, you know, sneak in and take a look? I'll let you finish from there.
Oh, sure.
Can I interject on something really, really quick, though?
Sure.
Dennis's thoughts don't ever seem normal to anybody. But
to me, they do. Just at that period in time, they didn't even seem normal to me.
Yeah. So,
they weren't baseline.
Yeah.
Right.
So what was happening is he was getting reception from the cosmos or whatever of how everybody else sees him for a change, and he's like, wow, I'm really like that. But anyway, continue.
Well, Dennis told me, and, you know, very gracious always, but, well, if you have time, get to it. And I'm like, no, no. As soon as someone says that, I'm like, I need you to send me a picture. I know it sounds strange, but in order to keep myself safe from an attachment, I won't go there. Psychically, I won't send my energy over to look. If you take a picture, then I can just read the picture and keep the bridge closed until I see what I'm looking at. It's a safety for me. So Dennis, I said, just take a selfie, send it to me, text it to me. And I took a look and I saw it right away, right behind him. Now, for me, when I see an attachment, I don't see with my eyes, of course, but the attachment takes on a particular form, shape, and it attaches to a particular part of the upper body for me. And while that may not be what it looks like or what it's doing, it, in my mind, symbolizes what's happening. However, I have found when I've told people it's in your chest, it's in your head, it's in your neck, they're like, oh, my God, I had pain there. You know? So I'll always tell them what I see. And I did see it right away. And it was not itself a big malevolent force. It was a scouting malevolent force, and its job was to bring, somehow get Dennis to go back to a place where a bigger one could get him. It was, that's the sense I got off of it right away. And so we set up a time for, I didn't sense him in immediate danger, because this was a scouting force. I just told him, don't remote, don't do anything until we take care of this. And so we set a time, and I said, just lay down, relax, or sit up, but relax, and I want you to pay attention to sensations, to things you see or hear, because that helps let me know what happens. And so when I go in to deal with an attachment, I never go alone. I take sort of a force with me. There's like a gang of us. I don't have spirit guides. I use the saints. So I pick among very specific ones that I bring with me. Then we go in, and with their help, I remove it. I hand it off to Michael or someone he sends. I give it to them. They take it to its judgment. And then me and my group, we heal the person. And then afterwards, I kneel and they heal me and cleanse me before I come back to myself, because I don't want to bring anything with me. And so I did that with Dennis. And I came back, and then I called him. And he did not have the same response that other people have. And when he told me what he was doing over there, I was like, wow, that's never happened before. So now I'm going to flip back to Dennis from his perspective, because this is kind of neat.
Yeah. Much like when I do a remote view, I kind of take absence from memory. A lot of the remote views that I do, I don't remember everything that I see or everything that I get. So for me, they have, like Matt called me and asked me to do a remote on a location that he was going to go in and do an investigation on. So I told him, just grab pen and paper. And as I kind of send myself out there, send my energy out, and I do my remote, I don't remember half of what I tell him or half of what I come up with. Kind of like, the one that I did for you, Christian, I don't remember half of what I got. Simply because I can't commit all of them to memory, of course, because then I'm afraid that will then influence me on a later one, because I'll, kind of second guess, I suppose. Or I'll cross-contaminate the information that I get. So as far as what occurred when she was removing this thing, I remember having pain in my shoulder and my neck. And ironically, when I first contacted her, she told me that, this dark thing was stuck to me, and I'd probably be feeling a pain in my shoulder and my neck and my ear. I'm not sure why it chose my ear, but okay. Well, ironically, for the 2 weeks from the time I did the remote view that I felt something was off, I'd been pretty much sleeping in my recliner on a heating pad from the shoulder and my neck. So she was definitely spot on that one. As far as what I was doing afterwards when you called, I kind of zoned out. I don't recall.
Okay. Well, when I called you and you were talking about you tricked me, and I went, what? What happened? You didn't know that I'd come in. You thought that I was telling you I'd call you and then I'd come in. And you had spent the entire time I was pulling him off screaming at it, just screaming at it and yelling at it and telling it to where it could go and all manner of things. And I was laughing when I talked to you because I was like, well, it came off pretty quickly that I don't think I wanted to be with you anymore.
I do recall part of that. It was, but it, by that time I was pissed off. Normally if I get cut off in traffic, kind of my initial response. Now, keep in mind, I drive a huge pickup truck. It's nearly 8,000 pounds. If you cut me off and I cream you, odds are good you're losing that battle. So mm-hmm. I get a little feisty. I will fly you the bird, maybe blow the horn, something like that. Well, for those 2 weeks, like I said, it just didn't seem like my own thoughts. Instead of just wanting to fly them the bird or whatever, I wanted to ram them, yank them out of their car, and skin them alive right on the roadside. I was just that furious for that period of time. And that's pretty much what, that's when I knew there was a problem. That I had picked something up from that investigation or from that remote.
Yeah. And when you explained to me how angry you were and how much you lost it while I was doing that, I think that anger was it trying to hold on, even though you were screaming at it. It was you resetting your whole system. Because you were losing something that had really, 2 weeks is a long time to have something, especially if you're sensitive and a remote viewer, because it can really mess with you. So I think that I was ripping the anger portion out of you. And that may be why you don't remember a lot too, because literally, when I pull something out of someone, they always feel it. And it's actually a little traumatic, and that's why I waited a day, and then I'm like, okay, Dennis, feeling better? Just to make sure. But then you said you felt much better. So I'm glad it worked out.
Yeah, it was one of the – I've done a dozen remote views, or probably more than that. And that's the first time that I can honestly say that I believe I brought anything back. Now, I did do one from that where I actually got punched in the nose. That was quite entertaining.
Good spirit.
Not so much murderous bastard. I honestly do believe, though, that on that one I connected with the young lady that was murdered, and I saw her murderer. I got really up close and personal to his fist. I bounced for 15 years in bars and nightclubs and various venues, some of which were quite large. I did security in a nightclub up in Ohio at one point that had 650 person capacity. And we actually had Kiss come in one night and do a concert. So it was a pretty big venue. So I assure you, in the 15 years that I bounced, I have felt a punch in my nose. I felt that exact same thing that night doing the remote view for Matt. So I saw the fist coming, and then all of a sudden my eyes watered, my nose hurt like hell. I knew exactly what was going on. So it's definitely a strange feeling.
From my end of it too is, if anybody's ever talked to somebody who was just punched in the nose, that's exactly how he sounded too, is that he got punched in the nose.
Oh, I mean, a little whiny.
Yeah, the little whining, the teach pattern change, the like the actual sound of your voice changed to where it sounded like, all right, for somebody who's never, or if you've never talked to somebody who got punched in the nose, talk to somebody when they have a sinus infection or they're sick or something like that. You have, you know, a lot of mucus or nasal blockage. That's kind of what it sounds like talking to somebody who just got punched in the nose and his voice changed from normal Dennis's you hear right now to instantly have the flu sounding Dennis.
And cussing. But I'll be right back. I've got a caller on the line. I've got a screen. So I'll be right back. Christina, have you ever had an incident where you've been doing a psychic medium event and had interaction like that?
Well, I'll tell you a story about when I was younger, because I used to get the snot beaten out of me when I was a kid in my old house. Back when we first started to discover that my gift was pretty strong, what happened the one night, this was about 8 or 9, and I was sleeping in a bunk bed. My brother had his own room, but once he went in there and was old enough to sleep in his own bed, I kept the bunks because I liked sleeping on the top bunk. And I used to get slapped in the face, even though I was about 18 inches from the ceiling, and there's no way for someone to slap me in the face and run if me not see them. And I, you know, oh God, I can't even tell you all the things that happened. Other people saw one of the ghosts there, but he was the good one. His name was Bill, and he had died in the house. We found out after we moved out. One night I was sleeping in the top bunk, and I woke up, but I couldn't open my eyes. It felt like someone had a hand over my eyes, and I couldn't see, and it was dark. And I went to pull myself up from the bed because I was getting panicked that I couldn't open my eyes even though I was awake. And when I reached down, there was nothing but air. And I was like that for a count of 1, 2, 3, and then the next thing I know, my face hit the corner of the dresser, and I went down on it, and I could see, and I sat up, and I'm looking all around my room, and while there was nothing there, I could feel this terror and heaviness and depression. Just, it was evil. I was very young. I didn't know what evil really was. I just knew that I did not like this feeling, and I did not ever want to be near it again. And I went to bed. Now, I thought, you know, I probably fell out of bed. I'm a kid, but I was a pretty swift kid. I was kind of smart, so I'm like, all right, I fell out of bed. I'm rationalizing this whole thing. I wake up in the morning. My face is sore. And I get down off the bed, I go to the bathroom, I look in the mirror, and there is blood on my mouth, there is blood dried in my mouth, and there is blood on my tip of my pajamas. So, yes, I did indeed hit that dresser. I couldn't tell you whether or not I levitated. There could be a logical explanation, but given everything else that happened in that house and all the times I was attacked and hit and tripped, I think I was thrown. So that was a pretty horrific moment for me right there.
Yeah, it's definitely strange when things happen to you that are out of the norm. But, Christina, I have Bill on the line with us. He has a question for you. Bill is joining us from South Carolina. So, Bill, you're on air with Christina Rake.
Hey, Christina.
Hi, Bill. Hi, what can I do for you?
I was wondering if you might sense how many spirits are around me.
I hear 4 and then I hear 5. so there must be one that comes in and out, but three of them are relatives of yours. Do you have both parents passed on?
I sure did.
Yeah, and then did you have a sibling who died? A brother?
Nope.
No. You know, check into that, because the person who's there is identifying your mom as his mom. So it may be that she lost an infant who was stillborn, because sometimes, for me, they grow, they age until they're 33, and when you die older, you age backwards until you're about 33. I don't know that that's something you could even check on, but he's identifying your mom as his. But two of them are your parents, and then he, and the other one isn't related to any of you. I think it's from your house. Do you have activity in your house?
Male or female?
I'm getting a male. Now, there's a fifth spirit that's coming and going, and she's female, and she's about 40. She got blonde hair. I can't for the life of me figure out why she comes and goes. There's someone else that she's dividing her time between.
That was going to be my question. Is she checking in on somebody else, too?
Yeah. And she's dividing her time between you and someone else, which leads me to believe that she's a relative. An aunt?
It's possible.
Yeah, an aunt, a heart attack. The way her hair is, I'm thinking she died in the late 70s, early 80s. She wasn't too old when she died. Very buxom woman, but absolute southern lady. But yeah, she's dividing her time between you and one of her kids. A girl, a woman.
Bill, let me ask you this. Did you have a cousin that pretty much considered your mom as his mom, but
Pardon?
Has passed? Did you have a cousin that considered your mom kind of like his mom also? Because that's what I'm getting on. One of them is a cousin.
My cousin up in West Virginia, her mom, which was my mother's sister, passed away January of 2013 on January 14th. As a matter of fact, I was up there 4 or 5 days prior to that happening. And, of course, I read her Psalm 23 every day. At the time, she was pretty out of it. She had, you know, had a stroke. And
she is already, that's who that is, because she's dividing her time between you and her daughter, exactly like I just said, that aunt. She already looks fantastic. I mean, I've got to be seeing her the way she looked when she was younger. And she's just, when I say she's flitting back and forth, it's almost like a happy flitting. She's worried about both of you. And yeah, it's that's exactly what I say. It's you and your cousin, and it's your aunt, and that's one of them that's coming in and out.
Uh-huh.
Now, I don't know who that other spirit is, that fourth spirit, that guy who's in your house but not related to you and who's attached to your house. That's the guy I'm not sure about. But so you know, and some people get confused about this. I hate for people to worry. There's a difference between a ghost and a spirit. because there are people who pass over. You get that?
Right. I fully understand that. I belong to a paranormal society down here.
Oh, good. Okay.
What's your paranormal society that you have? You can give out a plug if you'd like.
Pardon?
I said, what's the paranormal society down there? You can always feel free to plug it if you want to.
Low Country Paranormal Society, LPS.
Okay, cool. And it's primarily out of Carolina, or you got other areas too?
Primarily right now in the Tri-County area, Charleston, Berkeley, and Dorchester counties.
Oh, okay, cool.
Of course, you know, Charleston, which of course has been named the number one haunted city in the United States.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
With good reason.
I would agree with that.
As a matter of fact, I'm at the moment, I do the opening and closing prayers, of course, each time we go out and do an investigation. I am in the process right now of becoming a minister. And hopefully, within the next couple of weeks, I should have my license.
Excellent.
Yeah, congratulations.
Thank you. As a matter of fact, I think, Christina, your last name is Rake, right?
Yes, is this Bill Lively?
Yes, it is.
When you said that, I'm like, I know who this is. It's nice to talk to you. Bill, just so everyone knows, this isn't a setup. Bill just friended me. We have a mutual friend, Chris Deadman, and recently he just friended me because we were talking about religion. And so we've only known each other just on Facebook for a couple weeks now. So he said that I had no idea who this was until he said, you know, I'm going to be a minister soon. And I thought, wait a minute. I know someone who's doing that too. His name is Bill. So just so everyone knows. I'm glad you called in. I hope I helped with
you most certainly did.
But definitely, if you have time, check on this with your mom.
Uh-huh. Do I have time enough to relate a quick story real quick?
Oh, sure. Go right ahead.
Okay. What I can say is on one of our first investigations, of course, when we decided all to get together to do stuff like that, we did an investigation in a particular cemetery, and at that time we didn't know anything about doing the opening and closing prayer until later. And, of course, several of us did get some attachments. I myself, as a matter of fact, had an attachment. And I brought a dark entity home. About a week or so after doing that investigation, I was standing in my front yard. As a matter of fact, I'm sitting in my car right now about where the spot is I was standing. And I was looking at a 45-degree angle at the base of one of my trees. And out of the blue, all of a sudden, I seen a dark cloud move from my feet into the tree. The only thing I could figure out at this point is that, of course, I've had several mediums tell me I'm one of the most powerful spiritual persons they've ever met. So I have concluded that the amount of spirits and angels that are around me at all times, that my religious and spiritual faith was so strong that it just not could stand to be with me anymore. It had to flee.
Well, that's a good thing.
That makes sense.
It's much easier that way than having to have Christina rip the damn things out of you.
Pardon?
Like a tick.
Yeah. Of course,
I will.
Looking strange sitting back by yourself screaming, "Get the hell off of me."
Well, that's the funny part about it. You know, I never even knew it was on me. And of course, you know, like I said, I am becoming a minister. The Lord called me about a year and a half ago. And of course, I've always wanted to be a minister ever since I was 15 years old. But of course, back then, the Lord told me I wasn't ready yet. As a matter of fact, the Lord has sent me all over the world with the Air Force, different countries, wartime and peacetime, and has shown me, you know, a lot as far as, you know, life around the world, the humidity, the humanity, the despair, of course, the anger, the crying, the happiness that other people around the world go through. And of course, I now realize that, you know, he's done this to part of my training, teaching, for my understanding, that I become, of course, you know, more compassionate and want to help others. And of course, like I said, a year and a half ago, he called me and said, "Okay, now you're ready." And I'm glad that he has called upon me to do this. You know, some people have asked me, "Well, that is a point of time, you know, how do you feel?" Well, it's really the most enlightening feeling you could ever have. Truly kind of hard to explain to a lot of people unless they've gone through it themselves. But I'm glad he did call me, and I'm going to pursue it.
Fantastic. That's, you know, we definitely need, well, I'm not sure how long you've been dialed in, but if you listen to the beginning of the show, you heard me saying that I think we need a little more God in the world at this point. So those that are on his side, definitely welcome here.
Yeah, too many things have been happening in this world that there needs to be a lot of change.
Most definitely. I do agree.
Amen to that.
Hey, well, thank you for calling in, Bill. I'm going to go ahead and put you back on hold so you can listen to the rest of the show if you'd like. It's easiest to do it this way. If we do run out of time at 11 o'clock when Blog Talk shuts us off, you'll still be able to listen in to hear the remainder of the show. So thank you
will
for calling, and hopefully we were able to help you.
Y'all certainly will. Shall. And have.
Right. Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Bill.
Thank you.
Hey, Christina, I do have... Go ahead. I know where you're going, Matt.
Yeah.
I know where you're going.
So, right, I'm just going to be blunt about it. What's with the name change? What's the story behind that?
Oh, I didn't see my post.
I did not. Even if I did see it, then the people listening maybe don't know.
I figured they didn't know me anyway. There's no
a lot of people know you.
What happened is, so people know I was Bishop Christina Rake for a very long time, and I had founded a church, and I was building it up and doing pretty well at it, but it's sort of difficult for me because I couldn't give up certain things. I was called to the Catholic Church. I was scared into the Catholic Church by being marked as someone that, you know, the evil one doesn't really want to have a good time. And again, by St. Michael. So I was scared in 15 years ago at Easter Vigil, and I'd been in there ever since, studying, teaching, working. I mean, I am like a Catholic encyclopedia of everything you can imagine. So
yes, you are.
This church that I had found, thank you. So this church I founded was very Catholic in belief, but here was the problem. I was not ordained by the Catholic Church. And so one of the things that I absolutely adore and love and believe in with my whole heart, which is the real presence of Jesus Christ in the Eucharist, I could not do. And so there was a lot of difficulty there. My ordination was a Protestant one, and it was a polity one, which means that the congregation ordained me. So now that the congregation, it was a tiny one and it's defunct, I have no proof that I was ordained, which is not a good place to be. But anyway, I was. And so I was stuck in this place, but I also loved being, I love Catholicism. It's my story. Of all the stories about God, I love Christianity the best, and all the ways of telling that story, I prefer Catholicism above them all, because it was the first way of telling that story. So anyway, there I am. It's a liberal church, ordained women. I said everybody's called to the sacraments, regardless of race, gender, sexual orientation, or marital status. Well, after I've been working this for a while, and I have a show on Bishop James Long's network, and he's with the United States Old Catholic Church, who also ordain women and have the same outlook that I do about marriage equality and everything. And I've been on the network, and I talk to Bishop Long fairly frequently and joke around about Catholic stuff and things. One night, it was last Monday, not this Monday, the one before, and Bishop Long private messaged me while I'm on the air with Kat, the show after me. She interviewed me, so I had to stay on for the extra hour to talk to her. Bishop Long messages me, and he's like, I need to talk to you about something very, very serious. I've been praying about it for a long time. This is extremely important. I want you to call me after the show. I thought I was in trouble. Oh, my God, I was wetting myself. I was like, what did I do? I've never gotten a message from him like that. You know, we have a very good working relationship, and I've chatted with him and stuff. So he sent me his number, and I said, okay, I will. And I went upstairs and told Mark, Bishop wants me to call him. He needs to talk to me about something very, very serious. And Mark went, do you need to do it in here with me? And I said, no, I think I'm okay. I just don't know what I did. Because he didn't say what it was. So I called, and he was like, I know you're very tired, and you've been on the air for 2 hours, and you want to go to bed, so I won't take much of your time. You know, when you're on the air, and in the times I've spoken to you, and I've listened to your other shows, you're very Catholic. I said, yeah. He said, it pretty much just flows right through you. I said, mm-hmm. And they said, would you consider being United States Old Catholic Church? Then I was kind of stunned. And I said, I thought about it, but I didn't know you guys existed when I started this whole thing, and I have kind of felt like I'm reinventing the wheel, but here I am already plugging along. And so we had a wonderful conversation, and I asked him, you know, because he's in Kentucky, with what bishop up here would I study? And he said, me, personally. I would personally be your bishop. And so we spoke a little longer, and I told him I really need to think about it. He was absolutely wonderful and gracious, and everything I told him would be a concern. He was like, I agree with you. And then my biggest concern was I'd made commitments to people for confirmation, and one person who wanted to study for the priesthood. And so I wasn't sure what to do about them. And the next morning I was on Facebook, and Bishop messaged me, and I can't talk about it because it involves someone else, but basically every single one of the obstacles that would have caused me to say no in 12 hours had just pop, 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 pop dissipated. They had all just disappeared or taken care of themselves completely by accident. And when, you know, Bishop was talking to me, he was like wheedling me, you know, jokingly, and wouldn't it be wonderful if you did this? And wouldn't it be great if you came in too and all this stuff? And finally, I said, all right, put a stamp on me, I'm in. So I'm in formation now with the United States Old Catholic Church. Bishop Long is my bishop. I've been accepted formally into formation, and right now we're just trying to determine, because I've already got so much theology and scripture under my belt, exactly what does Bishop need to teach me. So that's kind of where we're at, and I will go for ordination for the diaconate. I'd be a deacon and then a priest, and we go from there. But Bishop Long has said, you know, if God willing, he would continue and consider bringing me in as a bishop too, depending on where I am, where the church is. So that's why I took the name off.
So you, from where you were with your original church, that's why you were bishop, but you're basically starting as a congregation member, and, well, a little bit above, I should say, and working your way up the ladder as far, or once the qualifications start coming in.
Right. I'm not ordained in the Catholic Church. I can't be in the Roman Catholic Church. The old Catholic Church, their sacraments are accepted by Rome. Mine won't be, because I'm a girl, but all the other sacraments and all the other ordinations are accepted. So what happened was, I mean, let's say I was a Methodist minister and I decided to become old Catholic. That would have to go away until I went through the process of ordination in the Catholic Church. I wouldn't be reverend anymore until I was ordained in the Catholic Church.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's kind of the way it goes.
Yeah, it's even my dad, and this is Roman Catholic Church, my dad's an ordained minister through the local congregation. So, would it be something that, if he needed to have something recognized by the Vatican, yeah, it probably wouldn't fly. But
The Catholic Church doesn't ordain people locally unless he's an extraordinary minister of the Eucharist. Otherwise, you have to go to seminary and be ordained a deacon and then a priest. So
yeah,
if your dad's
like
the Roman Catholic, yeah, then he's probably an extraordinary minister. And in order to be ordained, because he's not, he would go to seminary and then be ordained by the bishop, a deacon, and then a priest. That's how that works.
Yeah, well, he's also still married and has children, so I don't think that
right.
he could actually ever go into priesthood. If he did, we're all disowned.
Yeah, exactly. They do have married priests, but they're usually people who were priests or ministers in other churches and then came in and got ordained as Catholic priests, and they get to keep their wives, so it's very generous.
Yeah. So for everybody out there who's considering it, hey, if you don't want to give up the full sacrifice and do all that, become Lutheran or something else, get married, have your family, and then be like, you know what, I got to go Catholic. And you get to keep it. Lesson of the day.
Yeah, seriously, what's that $40,000 seminary education that we all have? Screw it.
Exactly, just start out in a different church, different religion, still under the Christianity umbrella, though. And then, I don't know if they have any scholarship programs or anything, but hey, there you go, wife, family, and Catholicism. It's possible.
The whole package.
I didn't know about that loophole.
There's loopholes in everything. But, hey, Christina, there's a question for you in chat. Do you think the new pope will have free will in terms of changing parts of the Catholic religion?
No, the pope can't do that. You can't, there's a difference between, you have to make a distinction. There's dogma, which can never be changed. The Pope's never going to be, say, God isn't a trinity, Jesus wasn't really God and man, and that's not going to change. There are disciplines, like there's devotion, discipline, doctrine, and dogma. And so dogma doesn't change, doctrine is on the way to becoming dogma, that's usually argued by theologians. Discipline changes, like eating meat on Friday, then you can, then you can't. And devotions like St. Christopher, was it real? You know, stuff like that that affects that. Or changing the words at Mass. The Pope does not have the ability to change anything. And he hasn't. There have been all of these weird religious sites saying that he's saying that the devil isn't real and all this. That's not true. He can't change anything. That's not his job. And you have to understand that a lot of people, especially in America, have this sort of misconception that, you know, well, changing things is great. But when you're talking about something like faithfully reporting everything that the apostles taught and everything that Jesus said, it becomes much more important to be the ones that don't change. You see what I mean? So people kind of, you know, look on it as, well, he's changing this and that. A lot of people are, when he said that, you know, atheists can go to heaven, people are like, oh my God, he changed that. No, he didn't. That's always been the teaching of the church. In the catechism, he says that those who are not united with us in baptism or in belief in Christ can also show love of God and knowledge of God simply by being good people and doing good works. It's an act. St. Paul met those guys in Athens, and they were worshiping the unknown God. And St. Paul said, you've already been great people in doing the right thing by doing this, even though you didn't understand what you were doing. And hearkening back to that, you know, they could have been saved. So a lot of people who, you know, don't know the ins and outs, the media makes it look like all this change has occurred. He's changed absolutely nothing. He's just been emphasizing the parts of the faith that have been trampled on by these neoconservatives who come in and they're like, no, wear hair shirts, do this. And I'm like, guys, no, it doesn't say that. So he's actually starting to pull the pendulum away from that extreme conservatism and trying to pull it center by emphasizing love and charity. There's a thought. So that's what he's doing. And so everybody thinks a change is happening. It's really not. It's just the way the message is being communicated. You've got 2,000 years of paperwork that nobody's read. And he's just talking about other chapters that you're not used to hearing, that's all. I hope that makes sense.
I'm good with it. Let's see what... Ross says he's good with it, too. He said, thanks, Christine, we need clarification, so I think we're good to go.
Did your eyes glaze like over? I didn't even get technical. I was trying not to.
No, I just like Dennis's answer. It's so simple. I'm good with it.
Now, see, we have to understand that I don't, and Christina and I have talked about this on numerous occasions. I don't follow any particular religion. You know, actually, even my dog tag said non-denominational, which basically the only reason that your dog tags even had anything on it as far as your religious preference was so somebody of your own faith could come and read you your last rites. If I'm dying, I don't give a shit if you send a cook out to talk over me. Just hopefully the first person has been the medic.
Yeah.
So, you know,
don't worry about the priest. Send the doctor.
Yeah. Send a rabbi. I don't give a shit. Just somebody that can, you know, direct my spirit in the right direction. You know,
you have my address. I know you're going to haunt my ass when you go. We've talked about this.
One of the things that cracks me up on a job application years ago before I started my own company and I would do applications, it says, person to notify in case of emergency. I always wrote 911.
Yeah, exactly.
And, of course, then, you know, they wouldn't find humor in it. And they're like, well, you know, we mean like a wife or somebody like that. I'm like, why? She's not a doctor. She can't do jack shit for me. Get me a doctor. They didn't like that answer. And it's the same case with religion or, you know, I have no religious preference. As long as you are religious, I don't care who you pray to so much. As long as you have somebody that you hold as a higher power. That's my only concern.
Well, and there's a lot of misconceptions, too, when it comes to religion versus Christianity, Catholicism, you know, even, I mean, Lutheran, hell, you can even go into Muslim. I mean, there's just so much of everything that blends together and that a lot of people don't know about or don't take the time to look into to say, yeah, you know what? You don't have to be a Christian or a Catholic to understand the Lutheran religion. And, I mean, even Muslim. Muslim is a branch of Christianity. It just there's different books and different stories that caused all of these different ones to branch off of like one main thing, if you will.
Yeah,
and
that's what I was going to say.
A branch of Christianity, but I know what you're saying, but it's, it has nothing to do with Christianity. It developed on its own. But they all go, you're right, they all do go back to the Old Testament.
Yeah. And that's, you know, like New Testament, Old Testament, and everybody thinks that they're right. But it becomes subjective at that point.
Yep. This is kind of in a different direction, but before I forget, because I have brain farts often.
No.
And since we have the pretty much walking dictionary of the Bible with us, Christina, I told you about the conversation that I had the other day with the father over here at my Catholic church when I went in to get some blessed metal.
Yeah.
And I will quote him, Matt. I don't know how I kept a straight face in front of this man. I mean, God love him, because he was the cutest little Irish guy with the accent and everything. I could fully picture him at, like, you know, St. Paddy's Day in a, you know, little leprechaun suit and shit. But I told him that I did paranormal investigations, and he just kind of looked at me real funny and goes, "You know that's all bullshit, right?" Okay. So anyway, what my question to you... I just keep hearing it in that little Irish accent. You know that's all bullshit, right? Anyway, I mean, he just barely stuck up above his desk on the other side. Anyway, one of the things that I wanted to ask, and I made mention to him, at one point in time I had heard a statement made. Now, you know, I don't profess to know the Bible. I don't profess to even read the Bible. I own one. That's about the extent of it. But is there a passage in the Bible that says God put spirits on the earth to walk amongst us?
No.
Okay.
Clarification. No, it doesn't say that anywhere. Well, I will, if I can give a little plug. I am finishing a CD on my talk, which will be at the Spiritual Expo and also at Post Town in July, where we're doing a paranormal benefit for Keith Age, and it's called Christian and Paranormal, and I explain step-by-step how to answer sort of fundamentalists who say that all paranormal activity is demonic, and I explain to you where in the Bible it says that the paranormal activity is perfectly normal, acceptable, and where psychic mediumship is actually part of the gifts that Christ intended us to have. And so I'm finishing that CD, and I'm selling it to raise money for all the traveling I have to do. But and I'm working on the book form of it. So I've done all this research to sort of help people. Over the past couple of years, they're like, "Christina, I think I'm psychic and I can hear spirits when I go into houses, but my pastor said that I'm possessed," and I'm like, "You're not possessed." So over the years, I've just had to have one after another, and basically I'm almost copying and pasting emails and finding the scripture verses for them. So no, it's not all demonic. No, that particular statement isn't in the Bible, but everywhere in the Bible, it says it's okay to speak to spirits. And in the parts where we think it says you can't, actually, there's some translation problems with those, because it's not talking about mediumship. It's talking about witchcraft. So, I'll just put that out there. It's coming.
Well, it's, and Dennis and I had the conversation too. It cracks me up, and I can understand the old world belief. I mean, you get an Irish or Italian immigrant who went through everything that has to be done and became a priest, became a bishop, became, you know, even a minister or whatever. And they gave that sacrifice to learn that information. And then you start to bring up the taboo of paranormal within religion. Some recognize it, some don't. But the ones that don't, and especially in like Catholicism. I talked to the priest of my church about it, and kind of the same thing, not Irish. He's I think he's third generation Italian in the United States. And he kind of said the same thing. He didn't say bullshit. He said malarkey when it came to the spirit world. And I looked at him straight in the face and I said, what's the sign of the cross again? And he's like, well, you're at a church function. You don't know the sign of the cross? And said, no, I know the sign of the cross. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, or Holy Ghost. I'm like, so with that, you can recognize one spirit, but and or ghost, however he decides to portray it, but you can't recognize other ones? And he just kind of looked at me, and he's like, well, no, because, well, it's you know, the Son of God, and his spirit's within everybody, and it, like, so there can't be another possibility of another spirit that maybe is like, hey, you know, I know JC, we're cool. And he's like, no, because of this scripture, that scripture. I'm like, all right, now you're going back to the Bible. Like, no, I'm asking you of the possibility of spirits that are able to walk the earth. And they can ascend. And a lot of what I've dealt with through science and all that kind of stuff, and I wasn't doing it to be a dick. I was just doing it to kind of hear somebody who I... Well, I didn't grow up with him. He's fairly new. He's within the past 5 years. But I was just asking, like, hey, if that spirit is within somebody, who's to say there's somebody else that meant something to you, like your mother, your father, your grandparents, that their spirits don't stay with you and can astral project, or they can move between you know, realms and possibilities. What is the Catholic Church's view on that? And all he did was quote scripture. He didn't actually give me an answer. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Right. Well, scripture for him was the answer, and because everything goes back to it. But no, I understand, and there's a place for it. You'll find Catholics more open-minded to it than evangelicals, because the Catholics have retained the reverence for the dead that was in existence when the church began, whereas most evangelicals are break-offs from break-offs from break-offs, and they've sort of forgotten, you know, all of that stuff. So, yeah, it's when they said it's malarkey, they're not saying that, you know, there aren't spirits in heaven or anything. They don't believe that there's paranormal activity that manifests itself on Earth. That's what they don't believe. They believe in spirits, and they believe in the dead and all that. They are not presenting a religious objection. They're presenting a scientific one, really, is what they were doing. So,
yeah.
And you'll find priests with that position, and then you'll find those with the more open-minded position towards it, and then you'll find conservatives who believe that all the spirits are really in purgatory. So there are all these different ways to go about it. To reconcile, I should say, the way people reconcile things in their mind with outright rejection, with acceptance within a framework, with total acceptance with no framework. It's like I have seen everybody do every manner of convolution with their own mind, including myself. I always want to know how things work. And if you give me an answer, watch out, because I'll look it up. So I'm like, really true. I'm going to go look that up. And then everything I look up presents a problem that I then have to look up to solve. So never, ever get me set on a question. But anyway, I agree with you. You have to call people on things sometimes to get them to look at their own mistakes, their own bad way of looking at things. And most people can't. Most people can't.
Well, what kind of reception do you receive? I already know the answer in a way, because technically, Catholicism-wise, you have two strikes against you. One, you're a woman. Two, you're psychic. I mean,
yeah.
What kind of reception do you get when you start to question certain things and actually bring it to somebody's attention?
Well, if they know those two things about me, they usually have no interest in talking to me. The biggest danger for them is if they talk to me, because there's something to be said about throwing away around your intellectual weight. And there was a reason that the Jehovah's Witnesses weren't allowed to come to my house anymore, because I converted one of them.
That's all right, because they don't come to my house. They showed up one time. It was four little sweet old ladies. And you know, now, Jehovah's Witnesses believe that there are only so many spots in heaven.
Right.
So I question them when they inform me of who they were with, and then they ask me if I was assured a spot in heaven. I said, well, as far as I know, but according to your religion, there are only so many spots, so how do you know I won't bump one of you ladies off that list? I ain't seeing sense.
That's
true.
Right. I love the South Park episode of the Book of Mormon.
Oh my God, that is so funny. That is so funny. And the Scientology episode. There's something to be said for, you know, taking it on the chin when they're making fun of your own faith. Although the guy who did Chef's voice walked after they did the Scientology episode because he said they crossed the line. And I'm like, they crossed the line? You had an episode of the Virgin Mary getting her period. That wasn't a line. They didn't even do that bad. I mean, that one I couldn't watch because I'm like, yeah, there is a line, guys, and you can't do that. I mean, you can poke fun. You know, they had the Pope being ancient and sitting down, and he was speaking inarticulately and everything, and that was funny. And I'm like, okay, I can see that humor, but with that episode, I'm like, that's just wrong. And then they do Scientology and make fun of Tom Cruise being in the closet, and that was a line for him. No, 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 we can't do that. We can't be making fun of faith. I'm like, that's what you do all the time.
Yeah.
You can't make fun of your faith is what you mean. But yeah, those are great episodes.
My mom and my grandma were out in L.A. It was a couple weeks ago, maybe 3 weeks, a month, something like that. And they actually went to the play of the Book of Mormon. And they said, besides the profanity and everything, which my grandma, she's 4'8", 4'9", Italian, church every Sunday, very, very religious woman, loved that play.
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea how. I don't know what kind of brainwashing
shit. It's hysterical.
That, Have you seen it?
In full collar. Oh, yeah. I wore my whole collar, the all dressed up. And I went to see it. And when I went to the bathroom, everybody was staring at me. Well, we were all getting dressed up. That's the only nice suit I have. So I was coming back to my feet. And people are in the elevator. They're like, what do you think of this play? Like, they're all cautious. And I said, this is the funniest goddamn play I have seen in a long time. And they were like, oh, my God. I said, my face hurts from laughing. It was, and they asked me what church I go to because they wanted to join.
I'm sorry. No, go ahead.
No, I was done.
Oh. One of the funniest damn things, and I know you remember this, was Appleton, Wisconsin with Scott.
Oh, yeah.
Just,
that was great.
Scott's actual title is what?
Well, he was, he did the Universal Life Church, so they let you pick your own title. So I think he said that he was reverend.
So, he did it to be able to marry two of his friends, right?
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So,
and we were talking, and he's like, I'm a minister, too. And so he goes off with Matt and shows up. Well, he asked me if he could buy my shirt off me. And I said, Scott, it's easier to jump over me than run around me. There is no way this shirt's going to fit you. You're like 3 feet taller than me, too. And I said, besides, they're expensive. And I told him I only have one with me. So he leaves with Matt. Oh, my God. And he showed up with a black collared shirt, just a regular black shirt, and he buttoned the collar, and they put paper in between the two collars so it looked like he had a minister's collar on. And we proceeded to walk around the place together, stopping for pictures. Oh, man, he is so much fun.
Yeah, then, Dennis, I don't know if you remember or not. Yeah, then that Scott's collar happened to be one of my pay stubs that I had in my car that I cut down and made into a collar for him.
Scott just hit right on so many levels, but my God, is he hilarious.
Well, wait, hold on. Christina, since Scott's not here to defend himself, I'm going to defend him in the fact that didn't you happen to leave yours at home?
Yeah, I had a makeup thing in mine.
Hers was made of makeup packaging cardboard.
I left the actual ring at home, and I get there, and I'm like, oh, my God. I mean, I have, like, Bishop all over, and I've got – those were the only shirts I packed except for a T-shirt. So I had to clip a white cardboard back of a makeup thing. So Scott had a pay stub, and I had makeup. We were both very legitimate that day.
Well, the best the best was when Scott walked into that Asian conference that was going on across the way,
mm-hmm.
with the collar on and the ironing board and underwear, and stood in the aisle and asked if anybody that's right. He walked in with the collar on, the ironing board and the iron that was sitting next to his booth, and he walked into an Asian convention and yelled almost kind of as loud as he could because everybody turned and looked at him. He goes, "No Tiki, no Washi." I'm like, "Oh my God, he's gonna get mugged." Like, wow.
Yeah, some of the things he comes up with is just off the wall.
And that's why we love him.
Most definitely.
We gotta get him on with you, Christina, one time. But
oh Lord.
Yes, start your prayers now.
I don't get in trouble.
No.
What's funny? He's like a wild guy, and he's so funny, and just right off the top of his head, whatever seems the funniest thing to do at any given moment, he'll do without any reservation. But when I went to that conference, I didn't know who he was. Don's like, "Oh my God, I love him." And I'm like, "Who is that?" Because I don't watch television, so I don't know who any of these people are. I'll meet people and I'm like, "Oh, hi, who are you?" He's like, "I'm Aaron, I'm on Ghost Adventures." And I'm like, "Oh, that's nice. I just don't know who these people are." So I was like, "Who is that?" And she's like, "It's Scott Greenwald from Paranormal Paparazzi." And I'm like, "I've never heard of that show. What is that?" And she was trying to explain it to me. She's like, "Just his face makes me laugh." And I'm like, "That's nice." But it just, she meant like even the expressions he makes are hysterical. And I saw him and I was laughing and everything. And after the dinner was over, he saw me. He was just grinning from ear to ear. And he came over and he's like, "I need to hug you." And I'm looking around me. I'm like, "Okay, I guess you're okay. You're on TV, right? This is the guy on TV, right? The guy hugging me here? Hello?" I'm like scared. He just gave me a big hug. But for the rest of the convention, whenever he and I would bump into each other, I mean, it's not that he was serious. He was just very sweet, and we talked about, like, really deep, profound things. So it was neat.
Yeah, he is definitely one of those guys. He's a goofball. He's hysterical. He'll do anything to make anybody feel uncomfortable. But he has one of the biggest hearts of gold I've ever met.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. He's a wonderful man. He'll be mad at us for saying that about him, but he is. He's a wonderful man.
Yeah, I know. I'll text him and let him know that we're talking good about him. The hell's wrong with you?
No, they will probably send you a link to the Dislike Scott Greenwald page.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I'm on there.
Yeah, and you see how many likes it has?
Yeah, the irony is he started the page.
Yeah, I know.
Just funny, funny individual. Right. So, one of the, and I'm going back to a serious note for a moment. One of the things that the Father told me the other day, when I questioned about spirits walking amongst us, he did say that there are, like, spirit guides.
Well, I'm sure he's talking about angels.
Okay.
Angels in scripture are referred to as spirits. God is called the Father of spirits. And so when he's talking about that, we all do have angels who guard us and guide us and help us through life. And so I'm sure that's what he's talking about.
Well, then I'm definitely going to hell because I'm sure I've turned mine into an alcoholic by now.
Yeah, there's this meme that goes around with, it's a picture of an angel that's, I know what sculpture this is. The angels are all around the cross and they're all, you know, crying and distraught. Well, one of the angels looks like it's face-palming itself. And the inscription says, I'm sure this is what my guardian angel looks like all the time.
I'm pretty certain that was, that, you know, mine has to look like that a lot.
Yeah.
I'm certain, if not just, you know, I'm sure if I have been assigned a guardian angel, it's probably wanting to turn in its resignation form. If it hasn't already. But, yeah. I mean, the some of the things I've gotten into in my life, good Lord. Now, here's an irony. When I say I don't follow any particular religion, my maternal grandfather was a Southern Baptist minister. You know, the hell, fire, and brimstone pound on the pulpit.
Mm-hmm.
My paternal grandfather was a, I guess you'd call it, regular Baptist minister. They didn't do all the hellfire and brimstone.
American Baptist.
Okay, I'll take that. I don't know. I just know I couldn't stand. I just couldn't stand going to sit in church. The only one that was fun was going to my mom's father, the Southern Baptist minister. Because that one, I got slapped more times in there than if I were to walk through a lady's bathroom and just start pinching butts. Mom would slap me easily every 30 seconds because I'd start chuckling. You know, he's up there pounding on the pulpit and preaching all his hellfire and brimstone, and I'd start giggling. Well, she didn't find it humorous. But, well, but yeah, the last time I worked in, the last time I was in a church other than just the other day stopping to get those medals was to work in one. And yeah. I don't know. I guess to each their own. But, you know, like I've told you in private conversation, Christina, I'm religious. I believe in God. I can talk to him from an outhouse or $2 million church. I don't need to put up with a lot of people's bullshit and attitudes if I'm in an outhouse talking to him, though.
Well, I don't know about the bullshit, but...
Well... Valid point.
Sorry.
Oh, yeah, I walked right into that one face first. And see, once again, this is where my guardian angel is doing that face palm going, did it really just say that?
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to detract from your point, but you're right. They're one of the hardest parts about belonging to any church community is other people. But one of the, and this is how I've always understood it, one of the best things to help you become a better person is worse people. When you're in a community trying to struggle together to become holier, it's actually more conducive to becoming holier. And so... it's very easy for us to be by ourselves. It's much easier for me. But for my part, I am less judgmental and less arrogant and less a lot of things when I'm with people who are struggling also. And so that's, I never wanted to be in the community until I understood how the community actually helps me, even especially because they're petty and they're sinful and they're spiteful. And there's something to be said for watching humanity in action, even when they're all trying to be holy. I don't know. I've always found in life there are saints and saint makers. So if you want to be a saint, you got to spend time with saint makers. Good God, that mouse loves me. It just ran across again. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to get distracted.
It's all fun and games until he runs up your pant leg.
Yeah. If that's what had happened, you would just hear, because I'd have tipped this whole damn table over trying to get up.
So, why shouldn't we ask for a demonstration?
Of what?
I don't know, your post?
What post? What are you talking about?
Oh, that was 3 hours ago. That says, ask an associate for a demonstration. You said, no thanks.
Oh. Wait, did you just see the picture?
Yeah.
Matt's talking about this very funny thing put up by George Takei, that it was, it looks from the writing to be a Menards, but it was a toilet on top of a box, and on the box was a sign that said, ask an associate for a demonstration. And I just wrote, no thanks. My mom showed me that a long, long time ago.
Yeah, some of the, you've got to wonder, who the hell makes up some of the signs that go in the, you know, Home Depot, Lowe's, Menards, and things like that? Just,
oh, yeah.
Somebody's not paying a whole lot of attention.
I've taken pictures of them myself.
As a contractor, I'm in one of them at least every day, every other day, if not two of them. And I really need to start snapping more pictures. I just walk away shaking my head, though.
Yep.
I wonder how many people actually do it just to get a laugh. Like, they'll do something subtle, thinking, like, oh, there's only certain people that are going to notice it. And certain people will just read it and be like, oh, and take it for what they think it means in a positive way. But then there's the twisted individuals like us that look at it and be like, oh, no. I know what that asshole was trying to do. And that's funny.
I still think the best one there shows a little boy with his pants down to his ankles, probably 4 years old, sitting on one of those, like, floor model toilets. And the caption on it is, where'd Bobby go?
Right. That has to have happened somewhere.
Oh, you know it has. And especially the way moms and dads don't really pay that much attention to their kids nowadays.
Yeah.
One of them's bound to have gone and used one of those toilets.
Oh, shit, with all the Prozac and Xanax that's being thrown around? Oh, yeah, I'm sure it's happened.
Yeah, you can't convince me it hasn't. But, oh, well, it has definitely been an interesting 2.5 hours, and I believe we stand a chance of Blog Talk giving us the nice little British bitch going, thank you for using Blog Talk. Goodbye. So prior to that happening, let's throw out our plugs. And we will reconvene next time. How's that?
That sounds good.
I'm good with it.
Am I plugging or are you? You guys plug.
Oh, you throw out your plugs too, dear. your radio program with...
Well, on Monday nights, you can go to inspireradio.org, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, to hear me on the Paranormal and Religion show, A Question of Faith. And then on Saturday nights, if you search Blog Talk for Charismatic Universalist, you can find our Prayer and Theology show on Saturday evenings. I just talk about the Sunday scripture readings and about how we can apply them to our lives. And that's usually 7 p.m. Central Standard Time.
And as well, so, you can find her on Facebook under Christina Rake. That's where the K is.
Yep.
Yes. Also, hey, I'm going to start up by saying this. Complete promise to behave ourselves as far as topics and language and all that stuff goes. If you ever want Dennis and I on a Monday, we would definitely be happy to do it for you.
Oh, that'd be great. Yeah, because I'm always looking for a way to take the pressure off and have other people on to talk with me.
Yeah, no, I mean, we're not doing Mondays on URN anymore. So Mondays are freed up. And Dennis, yes, I did just volunteer us, and I know you have no problem with that.
Not a bit, brother. Not a bit. Christina, you know, anytime you want us on or anytime you need a little backup, you know I got your back any way I can help here.
Oh, I know. Thank you. I love you guys very much.
Well, we love you too. So, Dennis.
It's returned. Yes,
Dennis, sir. It's your plug time since you've gotten so damn good at it.
Since I've had to rip this out in 5 seconds before. So thanks again for joining us, ladies and gentlemen, right here on Full Spectrum Radio. I am your co-host, CPR Dennis. Along with CPR Matt. You can find us on Facebook as CPR Matt and CPR Dennis. You can also find us on Twitter at CPR Matt, CPR Dennis. Find us at ChicagolandParanormalResearchers.com and Facebook. Thank you for joining us again, ladies and gentlemen. Our guest tonight has been Christina Rake. And as usual, Christina, thank you so much for joining us. It is such a pleasure to talk with you, dear.
Oh, the same here. Thank you for having me, and thank you, everyone.
And you are always, always welcome.
Thank you.
One last thing that's kind of a rarity for me to put out there at the end of a show. Ladies and gentlemen, the night before you go to bed, take just a moment, say a prayer for our soldiers, both overseas battling for us, and ironically, the ones that are here at home. Say a prayer for those lost tonight at Fort Hood. And have a wonderful evening, ladies and gentlemen. We will look forward to seeing you next week. Can't make